DW.
यहाँ से कुछ नहीं नजर आएगा, जब ऊपर चलोगे ना जब दिखाई देगा, बीच में तुम ही नजर आओगे।
You won't see anything from here, but from up there you see the whole world. It will only be you in the middle of the world. Then you will be the tallest and everything around will seem really small.
Sharuna scrambles up the steep mountain, her ankle bracelets jingling all the way. The slim girl is followed by her two cousins and best friends, Anjum and Jasmine. As the three reach the top, Sharuna opens her arms wide, a proud smile lighting up her face. Delhi, India's capital region, spreads out far below her feet. Cars, streets, buildings and people look tiny from up here.
My name is Saruna. I am 15 years old. I like to go to school and I also like to pick rocks.
My name's Anjum. I'm 12 years old. Jasmine is my one aunt's daughter. Saruna is my other aunt's daughter.
My name is Jasmine. I am 13 years old. My parents live far away from me. I live with my aunt. I keep my friends Saruna and Anjum close to my heart.
Sharuna, Anjum and Jasmine walk along the large plateau atop the huge mound. Their backs are bent, their eyes fixed to the ground, chatting all the while. The colorful salwar kameez they wear are in stark contrast to the dreary backdrop. Every now and then, one of the girls picks up something from the ground, stuffs it into a large bag slung around her shoulder. Metal, a bottle, hair, a piece of plastic. Anything they can sell on to middlemen and recyclers. The girls are rag pickers at Balaswa, one of Delhi's four giant landfills, three of which are operating beyond capacity. Every day they climb up the 12-story high pile of trash that spreads over more than 40 acres of land. The sight up here is apocalyptic. Hundreds of kite birds circle in the sky above, scanning for anything edible. Large packs of dogs patrol the area. If they come too close, the girls throw rubbish or stones at them. Cows are chewing on plastic and other waste. Pigs wallow in heaps of brown, soggy dung. The girls navigate the landfill with careful steps. Huge puddles are hidden beneath dry rubbish. Nobody knows how deep these are, but they're deep enough to swallow a girl the size of Anjum.
I fell into it once. These girls got me out of there with a lot of difficulty. I fainted when I was in there. I've been scared ever since.
The stench the black water emits is overpowering. Methane gas bubbles to the surface. It is produced by rotting organic waste. Especially in the hot summer month, when temperatures rise to 40 degrees Celsius, the gas spontaneously explodes. The garbage catches fire, covering the landfill in thick smoke for weeks on end, adding to Delhi's already dramatic air pollution. Only very few of Balaswa's dozens of rag pickers work with face masks to protect them from the smoke and the stench. Most of them dig up the ground with bare hands. Some have sickles, others use sticks with magnets attached to them to collect metals. Some have specialized themselves, only picking up firewood or textiles and used clothes. Others look for bricks. The best is to be found in the new rubbish that is offloaded by the trucks thundering up the mountain every few minutes or so. 300 to 400 loads are discarded here every day. According to Chintan, an organization working with waste pickers, 15 to 20% of Delhi's garbage is recycled thanks to these men, women and children working informally at landfills and throughout the whole city.
Once lots of hair buns were dropped off. A truck full of those. Buns, shampoo, oil, everything. Everybody came to pick from it, even nail polish.
Anjum enthusiastically talks about the things that are sometimes dropped off by the truckload. Products that have passed their sell-by date or that are faulty in some other way. These the girls keep for themselves.
Big cars come to drop them off here. We find chocolate and chewing gum and big boxes of biscuits. All of these things tend to arrive on summer nights. Everyone comes running for it.
Only the most daring, usually boys no more than 10 years old, jump onto the moving trucks to get to the most valuable stuff first. Anjum would never do that. She points to a spot on the dirt track in front of her.
My friend Koki and I were coming down and she said, "Anjum, I'm thirsty." So I told her to go and get water. We saw this trolley come. The guy who was driving it was called Ladu. Ladu said to her that he'd drop her where the water is and get his round of garbage too. You see how there are these bumps on the road? A truck and the trolley collided and Koki fell off the trolley and the truck went over her.
That was 4 years ago. Anjum still remembers every detail of the accident.
Her entire face was ruined. It was smashed into the road. Her hair was covered in blood. It was such a bad accident that people who came to see her fainted. You wouldn't have survived it. Her mother cried so much. Everybody came to see her and took her to the hospital. But none of the hospitals would take her, saying, "Now she's dead, why should we admit her?"
Despite the dangers of working at the landfill, Anjum and her cousins have no other choice but to come here every day. They don't go to school regularly. The rest of their family, all of them rag pickers, are dependent on the extra money the girls bring home. Altogether, the family makes 100 to 150 rupees per day. That is no more than about 2 euros, or just over $2. The girls live in a colony at the foot of the landfill. It is a maze of narrow alleys. Mothers wash their babies in buckets outside their porches. Kids play cricket in the streets. Goats push by an old man selling grapes from a wooden cart. Swarms of flies are everywhere. Anjum's family home is a simple brick building with one room and a half-covered terrace on top.
I am an illiterate man, so every time I try and find a job elsewhere, I have no chance, and I come back to the landfill to collect rubbish.
Anjum's father, Jamshed, is a soft-spoken man in his late 30s. Sometime in the 1980s, his parents came to Delhi from neighboring Uttar Pradesh. After floods had destroyed their fields, they were relocated to bushland at the northern outskirts of India's capital. Over the years, the relocated families made the marshy land habitable. They built houses, water pumps, organized electricity, and paved some roads. The landfill did not exist back then.
We used to find coal here and sell it. Then the first trucks came with the rubbish.
That was in the mid-1990s.
We thought they would build something and we would get jobs there, but they were just dumping the rubbish.
With each year, the trash piled up higher and higher. In 2010, the Balaswa landfill reached its official limits and should have been closed down. By then, 8 million tons of waste had accumulated. But still, the trucks are offloading garbage at the site, adding up to 2,700 tons every day. A health hazard for the waste collectors and the communities living around the landfill.
There's no tap water at times, and at other times, it's so bad that the children fall sick just drinking it. They catch dengue. How many people die here in a month? There are a lot of mosquitoes around here, and when it rains, the drain water surfaces, followed by mosquitoes, and they bite the children. People have to survive here in the toughest ways.
It is not just the health hazards that make life difficult for the rag collectors. Jamshed and his wife Gulshana are looking for a suitable husband for their eldest daughter, 15-year-old Anjali. They've been looking for quite a while, says Gulshana.
We found a boy through somebody. We have gone to meet them, but they still don't know that we come from such a poor family. The moment they find out, that's when they will back off.
Jamshed is worried about the futures of his three daughters.
If I had everything, I would provide them with good education so that people can say they are the children of this man. Good education so they can bring a good name to the family. There are three daughters and two of them are young, and I'm worried for their marriages. Every time I'm eating, the thought of them comes up and then I can't eat. Every parent wants a good education for their children because in today's world, there's not much you can do without education. I have struggled all my life. If we had some money, I would give them all of this.
Anjum does not even want to think about her sister getting married. On the contrary, the thought of Anjali leaving her fills her with dread.
It'll feel empty. I can't live without talking to her, even when we fight. I wonder, where would I go when she leaves? My friends will also go. I was crying last night just thinking of all this. My mother said, you'll also leave one day. Last night, a sad song was playing, and my mum hugged all of us sisters and started to cry.
For DW, Laura Salm-Reiferscheid, in Balaswa, Delhi.
This report was brought to you by DW.